Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to today's Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to be back with you. Appreciate the opportunity to be away a little bit last week. Ted, I know Joe filled in nicely. Appreciate that.
But yes.
I found a new John Deere tractor that I want.
Uh-oh.
So I was out in the prairies in North Dakota and seeing all those combines and, John Deere's. And
a little different from what you grew up with. Huh?
Well, it was, yeah, because now they don't just have duals. They have three wheels on so they're like 12 tires, 12 wheels on a tractor.
Man, are they like tricked out with Wi-Fi and everything now these days, too?
I suspect so. I just thought, well, you know, I think I need one of those.
Yeah,
so,
sure. Do you have a farm, though?
It'd take half the farm just to turn it around, but it was very impressive. Anyway, so nice to be back with you. We've got a great hour coming up. In fact, in the second half of the program, we're going to invite you to call in and just highlight your church and pastor, because October is Pastor and Clergy Appreciation Month. And we really believe and support and are encouraged by the local church and hope that you are each and every week and during the day in between, and that we can honor our pastors today. So we're going to get some help, some advice on that from pastor to pastors. Well, he serves as a pastor to pastor emeritus for folks in the family. For many years was in the church and clergy division and include the pastoral ministries department founded by H.B. London Jr. Way back, 20 plus years ago. He's a fourth generation minister, Dr. Lennon has served as a senior pastor for three decades. In fact, is now taken on another pastoral role. So he's as I understand, he's not actually anywhere close to retirement, which is good because we love H.B. London and are honored to have him back. And he's co-authored a number of books, and he and his wife of more than 50 years have two married sons and at least four grandchildren. So, H.B., welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hey, Neil, thanks. It's excuse me. It's great to be back with you. I'm a little hoarse from preaching yesterday, but I've done hundreds of these interviews, but never have I started one talking about tractors. So,
well,
that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we're in the upper Midwest here. It's harvest time, and so I saw a lot of soybeans getting combined in the last week, and it was kind of made me miss the farm days. So I didn't it's really only spring and the fall that I miss it. The rest of the time is like, that was just work. So, anyway, speaking of work, we're going to talk about the work of our pastors and how we can honor them. And, maybe I'll just start with that. It's kind of an old joke, suggest the pastor only works on Sunday. Obviously, that's not true. But, how has a work week for the typical pastor changed over the past decades?
Well, I think that, number one, I think the respect and honor that we have given to our clergy has been reduced greatly. I think that's partly the fault of the pastors because, we've changed the way we've dressed. We changed the way we talk. We changed the way we present our messages. The church has changed so much. We've become less formal and more interactive with our people, which maybe has its good and its bad. I think the demands on the pastors have not changed that much because the human predicament hasn't changed that much. There's still a lot of divorces. There's pain and there's agony because of relationships and because of illnesses and because of our society, our permissive society. The drug addiction is greater. The alcoholism is greater. A lot of the social issues have made those who are in the clergy step up their game to a point where, you know, they're dealing with issues that we really didn't deal with 20 years ago.
And I guess, you know, preparation is probably one of the big challenges, right? I mean, for anybody in ministry today, right? We hear about it globally that the need for training is such an issue. Is that a need in this country, do you think?
Well, preparation is interesting because we have become so politically correct in that, you know, in the old days when pastor would stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," etc., and go on into his message, people would take for granted that the Lord gave this pastor the message. Now we've become consumers and we feel entitled to a lot of things. And so we also feel that if we don't want to agree with what the pastor says or how he interprets a specific scripture or how he takes a stand on certain issues, that we can debate it. And even to the point of causing him to leave his post just because we don't agree with what he's doing or what he's saying.
I just saw a report from Tom Rainer, of course, who writes about the church frequently. He said that criticism and conflict are one of the top concerns of pastors, and that most of the conflict is over trivial issues. Just say a word about that. How can we stop this? I mean, that really is a terrible indictment on the church, isn't it?
Well, contention in the local church is huge, and you know, the larger the church, I mean, the more pastors you have, the more people you have. You're able to bury a lot of the contention in the size of the congregation, but in the average church of 75 or smaller or whatever the case may be, if you get some power broker within that congregation who makes up their mind that you're not going to build the education unit or you're not going to have new choir robes or you're not going to buy that van that you need for the youth group or that maybe you are. Or whatever, then it becomes hazardous to the health of the pastor, and that's what's happening all over the world today, is that power brokers in the local church control the growth or the direction of that congregation, and not so much the pastor. It was a time in the old days where the pastor was the most influential person in the church. It's not necessarily that way in smaller churches today.
Is that we live in much more of a flat society, right? A hierarchy is not quite the same as it, you know, we don't apply that, I guess, as often as we used to. So is that a, you know, good thing or a bad thing? I mean, that is it okay to have, you know, opportunity, I guess, to discuss and dialogue and sort of feel more, I guess, democratic?
Yeah, I think, you know, that should be done among the leadership and, you know, with the elders or the deacons or the trustees, whatever you have. I mean, you know, I don't think any one pastor should be above the accountability to a board or to a group of men or women. But the point is that when all of a sudden the interest of the local congregation becomes more personal than it does spiritual, then there's an issue. And it's still the bottom line of the church is still wrapped up in just a simple phrase, is anybody getting saved here? And I don't mean to use an old word, but I mean, is there transformation there? Are people's lives being changed? Are divorces being, are there fewer divorces? Are there fewer interaction and problems within the body of the church? Is there more love? Is there more outreach? You know, all these things are so important. And when it becomes a selfish issue of a few people who say it's my way or the highway, then God can't work the way he needs to work.
Talking today with HB London, HB has been a pastor for 30 plus years. He's hosted a daily radio program for 20 years, had a weekly television program. He's a fourth generation minister. He's pastor emeritus, I guess we could say, for Folks in the Families, their church and clergy division, which he started back in 1991, and he's currently pastoring a pastor to seniors in in the Southern California. We're honored to have him with us today. He's authored a number of books. We're talking about Church and Pastor Appreciation Month, and in a moment we'll talk more with HB, maybe just about, you know, why so many pastors are leaving their church and their calling each month, and we'll talk about some of the spiritual component of our the daily battles that pastors deal with. We'll also get some perspective on spouses, the pastor's spouse, some of their unique challenges. From we're getting wise counsel and advice, and all of this in preparation for ways that we can encourage our pastors during this month. More on that coming up in just a moment. Pastors and our leadership pastoral staff, and our churches that serve us so faithfully day in and day out and doing work that we probably don't even realize what they're doing, and getting some great perspective today from H.B. London, who is serving in several roles of pastor emeritus for folks in the Families, Church, and Clergy Division. That's something he started about 20 years ago, the Pastoral Ministries Department. He's encouraged thousands of pastors and church leaders through the Pastor's Weekly Briefing and the Shepherd's Covenant Encourager and the bi-monthly Pastor audio series of interviews and blogs and podcasts. He's written a number of books. He's currently pastoring, among other things. We're talking today about Clergy Appreciation Month. And, you know, you mentioned kind of, you know, in the old days, HB, I guess I'm interested in getting a little help us understand maybe the life of the pastor. You know, in the old days, the pastor did everything, preaching, hospital visits. You know, is there a typical week today? And are they, you know, are our expectations changed? You said the demands are the same, but have our expectations changed?
You know, I don't know that our expectations have changed. I think the role of the pastor now, you know, you really have to separate the size of the church. You know, if you're 75, a church 75 or under, you've got a pastor who still is the chief cook and bottle washer. If you get up over 250 people or so, you probably add a staff member or two, and you divide responsibilities. And then you get up in the 500 range, or then you go up to the 1,000 and up. You know, then it becomes more like a business, and so the pastor becomes in many ways a CEO. And maybe is not as close to his people as he once was. I think fewer pastors do hospital calls today. That seems to be a trend. And I think that pastors are copycats in a sense. And so whether it was the Bill Hybel era or the Andy Stanley era whatever era it is, I mean, pastors are trying to find something that works. And so they'll pick up a book or a tape, or they'll go to a conference and come back and they'll do their things. Denominations are less effective today, and it doesn't really matter for most people what the name on the outside of the church is. They just want to be pleased and happy and joyful when they go to church. And so, you know, all that has changed. You know, a lot of pastors, instead of standing behind a pulpit, sit on a stool and preach, and nobody wears suits hardly anymore unless you're a Southern Baptist or whatever. And so, you know, things have really changed, but the demands of the gospel have not changed, and that is that we go into all the world and we preach the gospel and we make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, that still is the bottom line, and how you get there has changed, but it is no less significant that we do get there. And as a result of all of that, people who sit in the pew have changed, and they feel entitled to complain. They feel entitled to affirm. They feel entitled to vote with their pocketbook or their feet. And if they don't like something, they go somewhere else. And so, as a result of that, the smaller churches are getting smaller, and the bigger churches are getting bigger. I mean, that's just a trend that I'm not sure we're going to be able to change for quite a while.
You know, the numbers are kind of disturbing with the pastors leaving their churches, and it seems like their callings by the month. What are the main reasons for that attrition? And, you know,
I really think that the key is found in leadership. You mentioned that a while ago about being trained to be a leader. I mean, if you're called to be a leader and nobody follows you, then that becomes depressing. And if you're, you know, you take a lot of these small churches out in rural areas where people have been there for decades and decades and families are still there, and you get a pastor who comes and they change pastors about every 2 or 3 years. I mean, that pastor really never gets a chance to be the leader or to leave a mark on the congregation. And as a result of that, they get frustrated. But now, and nowadays, and you talked about the family and the pastor's wife a while ago, nowadays that many pastors' wives and many families say, you know, I know that this call in your life is important, but is it so important that we're going to destroy our family, or we're going to alienate our kids, or we're going to jeopardize our marriage? Is ministry that important? And so they make these decisions a lot, the younger pastors now, based upon not just their family, but on their ability to lead, their ability to make a difference. If you're not making a difference, then it really becomes frustrating. If you're making a difference and you know your people are praying for you, you'll work yourself to death. But if you think you're just going through the motions, then all of a sudden other things become more important than ministry, and then that's when it becomes in jeopardy.
You know, we don't like to always sort of recognize the spiritual component to our daily battles, but it does seem like maybe pastors have a target on their backs. Say a word about maybe the spiritual attacks that, you know, clergy are often succumbing to, it seems.
You know, Howard Hendricks, who was from Dallas Seminary, he was a good friend of mine and who passed away a few years ago, he said to me something one time. We were speaking at a conference together, and he said something to me I've never forgotten. He said, you know, HB, he said, Satan is really patient. Satan will lie in the weeds for 40 years if he needs to. And at the worst time, he'll attack one of God's anointed. And if that one of God's anointed does not have the full armor of God upon him, his ministry will be in jeopardy. And that's what's happening. Satan is nipping at the heels of pastors and their families, and not just with immoral things, but with just discouragement and saying things like, you know, that was a lousy sermon, or nobody responded, and your people don't really love you. What are you spending so much of your time just giving out and nobody responding to you? And that's why every pastor should have a prayer covenant with at least 5 or 6 people who pray for him daily, but also on Sunday or Saturday, whenever they meet for worship, they will gather around this pastor and put their hands on him and or her and pray for them and pray the anointing of God on them. You can't, you're no stronger than the prayer force that enables you to do what God has called you to do. And so many pastors don't have a prayer force in their life.
Well, we have a few minutes remaining, so let's talk about the importance of a prayer force and other ways in which we, as the body of believers, can encourage our pastors. What things do you recommend?
I think first of all, Clergy Appreciation Month, you know, is discouraging to some pastors because they know that they're not going to be appreciated and nothing's going to happen. But Clergy Appreciation Month was instigated by Dr. Dobson and myself. With this point in mind, we want to alert the congregation and the rank and file of America to the significance and the importance of their spiritual leaders, the staff members, and their families. And we believe, because God has anointed them and appointed them for such a time as this, that they deserve affirmation, they deserve recognition, and they deserve prayer support. And that was the main reason for doing it. Now, you know, it's escalated into for some churches, a major deal, which is really good. But, you know, the African-American church for centuries has had clergy appreciation. They've had an anniversary Sunday every year. Every African-American pastor has an anniversary Sunday every year anyway. And so the African-American church really was a catalyst for all of this. But it's just a time to stop and say, we love you. We don't agree with you on everything, but we appreciate you. We support you. We pray for you. And we want to hold up your arms like Aaron and Ur held up the arms of Moses when he was in battle. We want to hold up your arms so that you will be effective and successful as God has called you.
What do you think means the most? I mean, is it the tangible card? Is it a gift card to a restaurant? Or just knowing that someone's praying for you and just a nice note? What means the most, you think?
Well, I mean, as I look back on my life, you know, it wasn't the big thing, but it was just people sending me a note saying, Pastor, we love you, we appreciate you, we thank you for what you're doing. Just a recognition that somebody out there understands that these men and women are in a battle. I mean, it is a battle, and the attrition is great. And just for people to write a note or to send an email, I mean, it's so easy to do it now with emails and everything, just to send something. But then as a congregation to get together and maybe have an after church coffee or interrupt a service and just say, Pastor, as the leaders, we want to say thank you for all you're doing. I mean, just to do something and someone in the local congregation to take responsibility for that. And Focus on the Family has a great deal called Thriving Pastors. And in that website, there's anything and everything you need to have a wonderful Clergy Appreciation Month.
Check that out through Focus on the Family, Thriving Pastors.
Thriving Pastors, and then it'll take you to the right site.
Wonderful. I know we just got a minute or so left of your time, but just thinking, you know, a number of pastors don't have a close friend. What would be your encouragement to the pastor today who's maybe discouraged and really needs to hear God's call in their life again?
Yeah, then, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, very few pastors have close friends, and you know, you'd like to think that one of your close friends would be someone who is a fellow clergyman who understands the battle and who's been in the battle, but sometimes, you know, you don't have that because you know there's the competition. But really, sincerely, Neil, you probably need a good friend in your local church that you can be honest with, but you need a fellow clergyman who understands the daily regimen and who understands the challenges, who you can pray with and who you can play golf with or just go have coffee with and just sit and talk about these things and bounce things off of one another. That's really the safest way. Everybody needs somebody, but I just have always had a clergy friend that I could talk to and would encourage me or challenge me, whatever the case may be.
Well, HB, I appreciate you just carving out a little time to encourage and challenge us today to express love and appreciation to our pastors. We're going to do that in the coming half hour, but I want to just say thanks and God's blessing to you as you continue to minister today and then the days to come.
Well, Neil, it's a labor of love. I've given my life to the clergy for 25 years now, and I'm going to continue to do it. But I just thank you and your station and all the networks for doing something on behalf of clergy. God bless you, and I know you'll be rewarded for it.
H.B. London, join us today. He's serves as the pastor emeritus for Folks in the Family's Pastoral Ministries Department, their Church and Clergy Division. You can go to Thriving Pastors at Folks in the Family to find out more how you can encourage your pastor. We're going to talk about some specific ways to encourage your pastor in the upcoming half hour, so stay tuned. This is Connecting Faith. Let me give the phone number out. It's 877-93-FAITH. Here we are in the early parts of October. October is designated as Pastor Clergy Appreciation Month. We just spent some time talking with H.B. London. It was kind of his idea to make this a little bit more of a formal campaign. And so for the past 20 years or so, it's been something that churches have had an opportunity to focus on. And so we're asking you that if you would kind of join us in appreciating your pastor. And here's what we'd love to have you do here over the next 20 minutes or so. I'm going to ask you to give us a call and tell us the name of your church and the name of your pastor in the church that he or she leads, and maybe just a word about what you appreciate most about your pastor, or maybe how they've uniquely ministered to you. So here's the phone number, 877-933-2484. We'd love to have you just kind of go on the air with us. Let's do a little kind of round robin all around the Upper Midwest Faith Radio Network, and let us know your pastor's name and church. And here's what we have to offer. We've got a couple of copies of a new Bible Atlas out from Discovery House, we've also got one copy of the Moody Bible Commentary. It's a one-volume commentary on the whole Bible from the faculty of Moody Bible Institute. So we'll give away an atlas and a commentary to one of our callers today, and then we'll just do an atlas to another caller. And you can enjoy it for yourself, but you may want to give it to your pastor. So
what exactly is a Bible atlas for those that might not be aware? Is it literally a map of biblical things?
Yeah, this would be, instead of just the maps in the back of your Bible, it actually has color pictures of the Holy Land. A lot of commentary about all the places and the seasons and the times, and so going through from Abraham to Moses to Jesus and more.
So if you can't take a trip to the Holy Land, it's the next best thing.
That's right. You'd really enjoy it. So these, we're going to spend, probably $30-$40 in shipping just to actually get these, because they're just pretty heavy volumes. But so looking for the name of your pastor and your church and what you most appreciate about them. And then we'll just do a little drawing here at the end of the hour. And again, you can maybe win that commentary in the Atlas, or a commentary, or the Atlas, and you keep it for yourself or pass it on to your pastor, put it in the church library. We'd love to have you do that. Maybe while we wait, we'll just play this little funny clip from James McDonald about, sometimes pastors get stuck in sort of difficult situations where they have to make hard choices. They get the people of influence that want them to do their bidding. This is one of those examples. Let me just give the phone number out, though, before we start taking your calls. It's 877-933-2484. And again, when you call, you get signed up for the Discovery House Bible Atlas and the Moody Bible Commentary. And more importantly, you tell us what you appreciate about your pastor. Here's James McDonald.
There was these two guys, and they were two evil brothers, and they were in a church. Like, what are they doing in church? I'm not sure, because they were so godless and wicked. They were so bad that they ran the pastor right off, just ran him right out of town. Well, another pastor shows up in the church, and these two evil brothers were there, and they're like challenging the pastor and undermining his ministry, but he committed himself to no compromise. And so he would stand up and preach the truth in church every Sunday morning. Those brothers would be sitting right there in that church, and he'd say, "You're wicked and godless and rebellious, and if you don't get right with God, you're going to hell." And I mean, he told it like it is. And so the church started to grow, like it always does when the truth is spoken. So they needed to build a new building, and anyway, the pastor kept preaching all this stuff and everything like this, and if you don't get right with God, God's going to judge you. And sure enough, one of the brothers died. The other brother comes walking into the pastor's office, and he's like, "Oh, this is totally, I'm turning over a new leaf. I don't want to be the person I've been. I want to make things right," and so on and so on. And he says, "And I want to just show you that." He says, "I want to give you this check for $1 million for the building fund. And all you have to do to get it is you have to say at my brother's funeral that he was a saint." The pastor's like, $1 million is a lot of money, but he'd committed himself to no compromise, and he thought for a minute, and he said, "I'll do it." And he took the check. Stands up at the funeral, the casket's right down here at the front, and the brother's in the, of course, the one wicked brother's in the casket, the other one's sitting right in the front row. And the pastor says, "I want everyone here to know and understand this morning that the man who's lying in this casket was a wicked, evil, godless, rebellious man. But compared to his brother sitting in the front row, he was a saint."
All right. Good job, Pastor. Way to go. All right. We're celebrating pastors today. Carissa's getting the phone calls as quickly as she can. We're just going to kind of do a little round robin today. I want to hear from all our listening families. What do you appreciate about your pastor and how they encourage you? Let's go to Kim in Fargo, listening to Faith 1200. Kim, go ahead. You're on. Tell me about your pastor.
Hi. Well, my pastor is Paul Fugelsted at Shiloh Evangelical Free Church in West Fargo, North Dakota. And Paul works a full-time job in addition to serving as our pastor. So he's a tent maker, essentially, and the responsibilities of family and work, and then serving a church. The responsibilities of serving a church in themselves are major, as you've been talking about, but to do all three really takes a lot of stamina, a lot of love for the Lord and for the people he serves. So I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Paul and how much we appreciate him.
That's no small task. I mean, the pastoring is a full-time responsibility anyway, then to be working beside of it, right?
Indeed, indeed. And he and the Apostle Paul share that, and it is really an amazing commitment.
Well, Kim, thanks so much for the call, and blessings to your pastor, and we'll get you signed up for the drawing, and glad to have you listening in today. Let's go to line four. This is Jeff calling in. Jeff's in Winnipeg, also listening to Faith 1200. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. What's the name of your pastor?
My lead pastor is Warren Pearson. I actually work with him. I'm a youth pastor at my church, and I know that even though I'm a pastor myself, I love to appreciate my lead pastor because I've been at my church for about 5 years now, and I've learned so much working under him. Warren is such a godless, selfless, servant-hearted kind of man. He has taught me the value of giving until it hurts, and he leads his people with such love that I appreciate both what he does for the congregation and the model that he lives out daily for me to follow.
Well, that's, one of the things we didn't have a chance to talk with HB about, but, I mean, staffing, and, you know, that's a big area for senior pastors, especially because they need to kind of minister to and disciple their team. And so, what a privilege you have to work for someone that you can really look up to and model life after.
Absolutely.
Great to have you on, Jeff, and blessings to you and in the church in Winnipeg. I hope it continues to just grow and prosper.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. That's the phone number. We're getting folks queued up and just taking your calls today, inviting you to just say, you know, what is it you appreciate about your pastor? Give us the name of your pastor, the church they serve, and maybe how you've been ministered to uniquely by these godly leaders. Let's go to Donna in South Dakota. Donna, hey, thanks for calling Faith Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm excited to talk about my pastor.
Good. Well, tell me about this gifted leader.
Okay. Our pastor's name is Andy Wright, and he's a man of the Word, and he's steeped in the Word, and he's given us all a desire to get to know more about God's Word. He's a church planter. He's a man of vision. He does a great job of challenging us to think beyond ourselves and beyond the confines of the church, because we're a church that seeks to have outreach and be Bible saturated, which we are becoming. And he encourages different people to step out into areas of ministry. He's just really a good catalyst that God uses to keep us going and help us to just listen to the Word of God.
Mm. Donna, you said he's a church planter. Was your church a church plant to start up with just a few
it
families?
It was, and we planted two others.
Okay. All right. And so that's given you an opportunity to see all the joys and challenges of sort of, you know, baby churches getting started, right?
That's true. We do prayer drives, and lately he likes to do prayer walks with some of the men. And he just is a man of prayer, too.
Well, Donna, thanks so much for calling and just giving a good word to about Andy. We appreciate you checking in with us today, and we'll put you in for the drawing for these resources as well. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
It's 41 past the hour, and talking today about pastors and just what we appreciate about our pastors. We're going to jump down to line 9. We got Sally listening in on Faith 1200. Sally, go ahead. Tell us about your pastor.
My pastor is Harvey Henderson, and he serves a Three Point Parish, and he's technically our part-time pastor because we usually have a full-time pastor as well, and while we're searching for a full-time pastor, he's just been willing to step up the plate and do whatever is needed. And that means doing 3 worship services every weekend. And he's just been remarkable to do whatever he can, much more than what he would definitely need to do.
Yeah, that's always an added challenge, isn't it, when there's an opening, open position where those that are on staff maybe assigned to other responsibilities suddenly become the preaching pastor, right?
Yeah, she's just been wonderful.
Good. Well, Sally, thank you so much for your call, and blessings to Harvey and the ministry there. I wish you continued growth and see lives change as a result of the good preaching and teaching. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. When you call, just asking if you would come on with us and give us the name of your pastor and the church that they serve, and maybe just what you have appreciated most about your pastor, how they've encouraged you. And we'll come back in just a moment and pick up some more calls. Thanks to all you who called. By the way, everybody who calls, we're going to sign you up for a drawing. We've got a couple of new Bible atlases just out from Discovery House, and they're, I don't know, number of pages. I was thinking more of weight. They're 300 pages, but they, you know, they weigh 5 pounds. Then we've got the Moody Bible Commentary. Is a one-volume commentary in the whole Bible. So we're going to kind of put those together and give those away. We'll just draw some names here at the end of the hour, and something that you can enjoy. And, you know, if it's appropriate, you can give to your pastor or put it in the church library or just pass it on to a friend. Enjoy it for yourself as well. But thank you for calling and letting us know what you appreciate about your pastor. We'll get to more calls here coming up in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
Org. I will sing forever of your love, come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness and you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love, come down.
Oh, oh, oh. We're talking today about what we appreciate about the pastors today. Had a great first half conversation with H.B. London Jr., who has served for nearly 20 years as the vice president of the Church and Clergy Division at Focus on the Family. And he and Dr. Dobson really got going the idea of Clergy Appreciation Month. And so we're just taking some time to do that today on the program. I invite you to call with the name of your pastor in the church they serve and maybe how they've uniquely ministered to you or what you so appreciate about them. And we're putting your name in the drawing here for a Discovery House Bible Atlas and the Moody Bible Commentary as well that you can either keep for yourself or give to your pastor. And so we've had full phone lines, so thanks for your patience. And let's go to Chris in Sioux Falls. Chris, tell me about your pastor.
Our pastor is Rich McCurris. He's a young man, but he's a man of the Word. He studies hard, and his sermons are very engaging. Not only is he a good storyteller, but he digs deep into the entire context, and so he sets the sermon, the passage, in its rightful context so that we get a deeper meaning from things. In addition, he always gives spiritual applications that are relevant in each of our lives, and we just love him for all of that.
Well, it sounds like you've really had opportunities to grow and maybe just do a lot of learning. I mean, the worship experiences, you come out pretty full, it sounds like.
We do come out full, and he also lives the walk. He has invited an international congregation to share the facility with us, and it's just wonderful because he encourages us to get out of our comfort zone and worship in an African style right along with other people. And so he's just got a big heart for our city, a big heart for poor people, and a big heart for the lost in the world.
Well, Chris, thanks for your call and blessings to Pastor Rich in the Sioux Falls area. Let's go to up to line one, and Tom is checking in from Fargo. Tom, tell me about your pastor.
Oh, his name is Bob Ona, O-N-A, First Assembly of God Church in Fargo. He's just got a real heart for people, not just parishioners, but all people. Huge jail ministry. It's just, and all the sermons are such biblically based. And there's other pastors that are in the church, but he's the lead pastor.
Bob Ona. In fact, what First Assembly, aren't you? You got a big concert coming up there, don't you, or something with the
Phillips. Yep, we just had Matthew West and Phillips Craig and Dean are coming in December.
Good. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your call, and blessings to Pastor Bob and the good work there at First Assembly. And you know, that's an important church for Life 97.9 and Faith 1200 in the Fargo-Moorhead area, so appreciate that. We're talking about what we appreciate about churches and pastors today, and again, we mentioned that when you call, we'll get your contact information so we can sign you up for a couple of Discovery House Bible atlases. We got a couple of copies of that that we'll give away, plus the Moody Bible Commentary. It's a one-volume commentary in the whole Bible from the faculty of Moody Bible Institute. And so we'll spend the the $30, $40 in postage, but it'll be all right. So Carissa's getting the calls as quick as you can. Do we just take a chance? Let's do it. Let's
sure.
go to line four. Hi, you're on Connecting Faith. Tell me the name of your pastor.
My pastor is Pastor Mac Hammond of Brooklyn Park, Living Word Christian Center. And I've had a background of Jehovah's Witnesses, and that was the church that really took me into the Word deeper than anywhere else, and has established a real firm commitment to the Lord now. And I really think Pastor Mac Hammond has an outstanding, extraordinary anointing to teach the Word of God, as well as his grandson and his son that both take the pulpit once in a while. They're outstanding teaching the Word. I mean, we're about 11,000 people right now. I've seen it grown from, it grew from about 1,500 to 11,000 in the time that I was associated with it. And it shows you the it's a people magnet. Yeah. People really enjoy the teaching, and it's done in a way that they remember. You know, he teaches in a way that you remember the sermons and the teachings on it.
Good.
And he really makes us get our Bibles out. And everybody's got their Bibles out. I take notes, too. So my Bible's well marked up.
Well, I'm glad to hear
with,
it.
All sorts of things. Yeah.
Well,
that makes it useful to me. Sharing the good news, you know.
I appreciate your call. And I mean, just a reminder again how important, you know, solid Bible teaching is, because, you know, a lot of aspects where we can get misunderstanding. And as you know, Alistair Begg always talks about that. He said, I hope that you have your Bibles open when you come to hear the message, because, you know, we need to be like the Bereans, right? They studied the Word daily to make sure that it was true. So thank you so much for your call. We've got time for a few more calls here. Ted, let's take another one. There's line five. We'll go to line five. Thanks for waiting. Tell me the name of your pastor.
My pastor's name is Milt Bora at Quarry Rock Church in Bel Rapids, South Dakota. And just want to say, I really love my pastor. He's got a heart for the Lord, a heart for his congregation and the community. He's a powerful preacher, and his sermons relate to everyday life. So you actually take some away from it every Sunday. And just we really appreciate him a lot.
Good. Tell me your first name. I didn't get your name.
My name's Travis.
Travis, thanks for your call, and blessings to Pastor Milt. Appreciate hearing from you, and we'll make sure that you're in the drawing as well. We got time for a couple more here, I think. We'll go down to line seven. Let's pick up Chris. All right. This is line nine.
Line nine. Yeah,
line nine. Go ahead. You're on Connecting Faith. Tell us the name of your pastor. Oh, we maybe didn't.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, you are on the air. Sorry, we just didn't get your name. Tell me what you.
Okay, my name is Grace.
Grace, thanks for calling. And what's the name of your pastor?
My pastor is Pastor Tom Lindberg with the Whispering Pines Evangelical Free Church in Hawthorne, Wisconsin. He's a wonderful pastor. He sticks straight to the Scripture all the time, and he also adds little anecdotes about his own life and his and his friends and so forth. It makes the sermon so much more interesting than just from the Bible itself, because it shows you how you can apply it to your own lives. And he's wonderful with the young children, and we have a very small church, but recently we had to replace the roof on it, and he was up there working every single day, and he did the almost the entire roof by himself.
Oh.
And he's just a wonderful man.
You haven't hired him to do any roofing in your place yet, though, have you? So.
No, good. Just had my roof replaced recently, so I don't need a roof.
Well, wonderful, Grace. Thank you so much, and blessings to Tom and Whispering Pines Evangelical Church. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That's a nice name.
Yes, Whispering Pines.
Yeah, and do the pines whisper actually during the service, or?
Well, sometimes when the wind is blowing.
Sure. Okay. Grace, thanks so much for calling, and glad to have you listening in to Connecting Faith.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your station all the time. I have it on the radio constantly. So I
appreciate that.
So. It's just great. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Let's go to line six. We've got Arlene. Arlene, tell me the name of your pastor.
Hi, Neil. I love your program. I love KFNW, of course. It's the only station I have on in all my radios. And God bless you guys for being there. I'd like to give honor to Pastor Jeff Culver. He was our pastor for several years, but he felt led to go to the Virgin Islands. And now we have Tony Snyder, excuse me, and Savannah, his wife. They are our youth pastor, and they're doing a great job along with Virgil Mose and Judy here at Detroit Lakes Assembly of God. And I want to thank them for all they're doing, and we're praying, and we ask you to pray that we will get the pastor the Lord wants us to have.
Amen. Arlene, thanks so much for your call. Good to hear from you, and blessings to Jeff as they serve now in this important mission, and for Tony and Virgil and the other team there. We want to close today's program, by the way. We'll do a drawing here. We'll let you know maybe winners tomorrow about who won those resources. But I want to close. I'd asked HB, London couldn't stay with us for the whole hour, but before we started the program today, I just asked him if he would offer a closing prayer on behalf of all those pastors mentioned and others that didn't connect with us today all across the upper Midwest.
Hey, our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful men and women who serve the body of Christ around the world. Lord, as we pray for them, we know that you have equipped them and assigned them and appointed them for such a time as this. I can't imagine what our world would be like if you took these men and women out of the equation. I pray that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, you embolden them, and that you give them words to say and lives to live that will continue to impact our society. And as we impact our society, we impact the world. I pray for their congregations. And at this Clergy Appreciation Month, oh God, I pray that their people will embrace them and love them and pray for them in such a way that they will know that they are not only appreciated, but they're loved and they're cared for. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you missed part of today's, the first half of the program, a conversation with H.B. London, you maybe missed the fact that he talked about the thriving pastors. Link on the Focus on the Family website. Encourage you to check that out. It's got a lot of resources, and we'll get you linked to other ways, opportunities that you can encourage your pastoral team today, pastor and their spouses. It is it's important work. It's doing the Lord's work, but it's not easy. Easy to get discouraged. So make a point to encourage your pastor in some way this month, and not just this month as well. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit about how churches are thriving. We're going to talk with Kelly Parkinson about some important research called RISE, Bold Strategies to Transform Your Church. You know, what happens when not just a small group of people, but an entire congregation is transformed? What does that do to the community? We'll talk about it tomorrow. I hope you can be listening. And again, we'll announce a winner for our drawing here for the Bible Atlas and the Moody Commentary. And I hope that if you receive that, you can enjoy it, and maybe pass it on to your pastor and to be an encouragement to them as well. Thanks so much for listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can always catch it online. We post the interviews on the show page at Connecting Faith at myfaithradio.com.